There's a new study sheet out there for tonight, just one study sheet tonight. Book of the Revelation, study 18. Scripture talks about rejoicing in heaven. What causes rejoicing in heaven? All right, the Bible says over a sinner that repents, over one sinner that repents. Does anything else cause rejoicing in heaven? Well, that caused rejoicing for us, but what causes heaven to rejoice? Yes, when a sinner comes home, when a sinner's saved. Turn to Revelation 18. And verse 20. And there it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Rejoice over her, thou heaven. And so there's something else that caused heaven to rejoice, and it's the judgment of Babylon the Great. And so... Two things caused that I know of. There may be others, certainly, but two that I'm definitely aware of is a soul that repents, that causes rejoicing in heaven, and the judgment of Babylon the Great causes rejoicing in heaven as well. We have been looking at these last few chapters of the book of the Revelation, and we are kind of slowly winding our way down to the conclusion of this wonderful book, and I hope that's been fun for you to study as it has been for me. I don't know if you've ever noticed it much, but on the study sheets themselves, what I've actually given you there is the exact same outline that I got when I took this course in seminary. When I took this course in seminary, my professor's name was Dr. Price, Randall Price, and Dr. Price, I'm not sure if this was his outline or if he borrowed it from somebody else, I have no idea, but this was the outline that we used when I studied the book in seminary. And of course, there's all kinds of alliteration going on here in this outline. Roman number one, the angel announces the reason for Babylon's fall. The angel announces the recompense of Babylon's fall. The angel announces the response to Babylon's fall. And the angel announces the results of Babylon's fall. So there's a whole bunch of R's there. And then in the middle of Roman numeral 3 under A, you have Earth's monarchs mourn, Earth's merchants mourn, and Earth's mariners mourn. And so whoever put this together certainly delighted my heart because of all the alliteration that's going on here. But you can teach God's word without it. You know, it really is possible. Aren't you glad God's in control? And no matter how much religious or ecclesiastic Babylon rebelled against God, God judged. And no matter how much political or economic Babylon, for that's the picture we have here in chapter 18. In chapter 17, we had the judgment of religious Babylon. In chapter 18, we have the judgment of economic Babylon or political Babylon. And no matter how much men might raise their fists against God, both in worship or in gathering of material goods, God is still on the throne. And God is still in control. And we can rejoice that God will take care of all of these things. And so when we come into chapter 18 now, we have this announcing going on, and it's by different angels. Notice when we come to verse 1, it says, And after these things, I saw another angel. And then, verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven. And so you have different ones involved. Perhaps, remember I told you once before that there are different words in the Bible for the word another, different Greek words. Some mean another of a different kind, and some means another of the same kind. Well, this is the another of the same kind. So another mighty angel, the same kind as the last angel, is mentioned in chapter 17, verse 1. So we have another angel, an additional angel. And so this angel is going to be doing some announcing. And this angel comes from heaven. Let's just read the first three verses of chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And several times we have delicacies and deliciously mentioned in this passage. Deliciously a couple times, delicacies once here. What we have is a picture of prosperity that takes place throughout the earth under the rule and reign of that terrible leader, that false one, that one who destroyed the harlot so that all worship might go to him. And so the harlot of chapter 17, the religious Babylon, was destroyed so that all glory and honor and worship and loyalty and faithfulness would go toward this one here. And so we have this one coming from heaven, this one who is announcing the fall of Babylon the Great. And this one who gives the reasons for this destruction of Babylon the Great. And notice again, the double is fallen. Why does Scripture oftentimes repeat a phrase? Emphasis. But perhaps there's a secondary reason why we have this repeating going on here. It's because in chapter 17 we have Babylon is fallen, and now in chapter 18 we have the economic Babylon that is fallen. And so maybe we have a thought of putting both of these, the harlot in chapter 17 and this world political leader in chapter 18, both being destroyed, both falling. And so we see this taking place. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting, what is some of the response? When we get way down to Roman numeral 3, verses 9 and following in the chapter, what is some of the response to the fact that economic Babylon is fallen? What's the response? Mourning. Was there any mourning when religious Babylon or ecclesiastical Babylon fell back in chapter 17? No, we don't see any of that, do we? We don't see any mourning taking place. And somebody might ask the reason or the question, why? Why did we not see any mourning take place when the religious entity of Babylon fell, but the economic entity of Babylon is now falling, and there's no similar response? Any suggestions? Any ideas? Yes.
Well, in the world today, that would be the case. If religion ceased, there will be a lot of people that will be happy. And if the economy failed, there would be a lot of people living themselves.
Okay, so it might possibly that. There's another reason. Because once religious Babylon, the harlot, was destroyed, who then received the worship? the Antichrist did and the beast. And so there was no, it wasn't that all worship ceased. It was just transferred and toward the beast himself and toward the Antichrist. And so we see this response now, because now once Babylon economically is destroyed, it's also the worship that went along with that is also finally destroyed. And so there was this great lamentation over the economic falling here. And notice what the scripture said happened to this fallen entity called Babylon the Great. What happened? It says it became a habitation of devils and of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We have some picture language going on here. And just like you would have all of these wicked, evil birds, and the word foul here is not talking about birds, it's talking about something that's evil and wicked. Only what is it that inhabits them? Is it birds that inhabits this fallen Babylon? No, it's evil spirits, it's demons. They are pictured as evil birds here, but can you get the picture? God's judgment is so severe that now all of these fallen angels, these demons, these foul spirits come and inhabit this political, economic Babylon and further defile it and further corrupt it. And it's all a part of God's divine judgment on them to bring it to being a habitation. Eventually, where will they all be cast? In the lake of fire. They will all eventually be cast in the lake of fire. But now they become a habitation for wicked demons and wicked evil spirits. Now, anytime divine judgment is about to fall, what does God do with those who are his people? He either rescues them or calls them to come out. And notice what it says here in verse 4. It says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. And so this voice from heaven, it's not identified here. We don't know if it's the voice of God. We don't know if it's a voice of Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly whose voice it is, but this voice says, come out of her, my people. Why do you think some of God's people will be in political, wicked Babylon? Yeah, this is still the tribulation period, toward the very ending of the tribulation period. This is before Jesus Christ has come back at the end of the tribulation period to set up his kingdom. And there are people being saved during this time called tribulation saints. And so it's possible that some of these tribulation saints who have not been martyred for the faith are now kind of living scattered among the economic and political kings of the world. And as God is going to judge Babylon, he is going to call for his people to come out. Very similar to what happened in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah 50. Go back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 50. And do any of you have a title ahead of chapter 50 of Jeremiah? What's it say? Judgment against Babylon. So here we have God giving some, through Jeremiah, he gave not only Babylon, but he gives judgment against lots of different cities and lots of different nations. And it says, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. And as you come down, go down to verse 4. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And notice what they are encouraged to do in verse 8. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. And so what is God calling them to do through Jeremiah there? Come out, because why? I'm about ready to judge Babylon. And it's a very similar situation now here when you come to the book of the Revelation. He is going to judge the nation and the leadership of the Antichrist in Babylon. And so notice again chapter 51 and verse 6. Says, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. And so we find a very similar thing taking place over in the book of the Revelation, chapter 18, when Babylon is now going to be judged again. And back in Revelation 18, there's a reason why verse 4 says, come out of her, my people. Two reasons given in verse 4. What are the two reasons? That you don't partake in her sins, and that you don't partake in her plagues. In other words, the judgment that's going to fall on her. And so there's a twofold reason: to keep God's people pure so that they don't partake in the sins, and to keep God's people safe so that they aren't judged with the plagues that will take place there. What other Old Testament stories sound similar to that? Sodom and Gomorrah. We can't think of Babylon in Jeremiah 50, and we can't think of Babylon in Revelation 18 without also thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. And again, before God was going to judge, he delivered his people or called his people out. And God has done that earlier in the book of the Revelation, because we believe that God will rapture out his saints before the tribulation period will take place as well. And so we see God continuing to follow the same pattern. And then in verse 5 it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And so there's a reason for this judgment. Her sin and her iniquities, her pride, her rebellion against God, her fornication with the nations of the world that ignored God and worshipped false gods. And so we have these indictments, and we see these indictments continue in verse 6. And the word reward here is kind of the word that means give what is owed. The word reward here is to give what is owed. And so what we read here is that he is going to give her back even as she gave. That's what the phrase here, reward even as she rewarded you. But not only was she going to be judged, but in the next phrase of verse 6, what kind of judgment is it going to be? Double judgment. In other words, the sin was so terrible that God is not just going to judge and pay back to them what they gave out. They are going to get double judgment. And so it tells us that double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled full to her double. Her sin has been so enormous. Her sin has been so terrible. She has lived deliciously, according to verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. That word deliciously is kind of the word that means reveling in sin. To be so strong-willed and stubborn in their sin that they won't refuse it or leave it. And so she's lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. Why? Because she's glorified herself and she's lived deliciously, full of pride, full of self-sufficiency. And for in her heart she said this, verse 7, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. So what kind of attitude is that? I sit a queen and am no widow. And that's an attitude of self-sufficiency, pride, feeling like she can never be vanquished, feeling safe. And what is going to happen in verse 8? The judgment, the plagues are going to come in one day. That's quick, swift judgment. In other words, here's Babylon saying, I'm great, I'm queen, I'm safe, nothing can happen to me. And God is going to send judgment in one day. And final judgment. We know it's final judgment because look down in verse 21. Says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Where are our sins cast? In the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against us again. Where is Babylon going to be cast? Like a millstone into the sea, never to be remembered again. And so that speaks of the final utter destruction of this one who rebels against God and takes the worship that belonged to God. And then we see very quickly what happens with all of the peoples of the earth. Those who have been a part of her sin. And verse 9 says, those who were kings of the earth, those leaders who allied themselves with political Babylon. Now, these would not necessarily be those 10 nations of the economic union of the European Union. These would be all of the kings of the whole earth, would go much further than just those original 10 kings. And so all the kings of the earth are going to bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. And so they are going to be so sorrowful to see all of their lifestyle destroyed and all of the riches destroyed. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. But not only the kings of the earth weep, but the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all tine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manners vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits of that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And alas, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught. Then we have a third group, every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she made desolate." So that's the response. Weeping and mourning. And yet there's a response that heaven calls for, and that response is to rejoice. "For God hath avenged you on her." Those that were destroyed are now being avenged. And then the last five verses of this passage, or four verses, again talk about the final results, and several things are announced. One, that judgment, Babylon's fall, will be final. And we looked at the millstone, and she be found no more. And then that fall will be silent. Even though there are those who are going to mourn, and those who are going to weep, and those who are going to rejoice. But notice what happens here. And it says in verse 22, "The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, or whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." And so there's no music, there's no craft, there's no industry, there's no marriage. And verse 24 gives us the reason. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Part of the reason for all of the great judgment that's going to call upon political and economic Babylon. Utter, total, permanent destruction. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we might be those today who rejoice in holy things and in righteousness, and that we are not like those described in this passage that rejoice in iniquity and rejoice in prosperity and rejoice in those who rebel against God. Father, we need to take our stand today and in our associations and in our lives, that we would align ourselves with those who love God. So I pray you'll give us wisdom in these areas as well. Father, just as the voice from heaven told your people to come out of Babylon, we are called out from this wicked world to be separate and to be holy ourselves today. We are called to come out from among them and be separate. And so I pray that we might learn the importance of separating ourselves from sin. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.